Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome everyone once again to, okay, power and then reset. Now, reset. Now, jiggle the cartridge a little bit and then Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
You know, on the NES, sometimes I'd have to, like, just push the cartridge barely in.
Just the tip.
Just the tip, and it would work. In the 1920s, we took the children out of the coal mines. Now, one of the most popular games on the planet is Minecraft, proving that children yearn for the mines. Welcome to gaming.
I've heard that, and part of me doesn't disagree.
Yeah.
Well, nope. We're not going there. We're keeping it light.
Yeah. Big thank you to our sponsor, Shirt Stores, digging up clothing from the past for you to look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And you can buy all kinds of stuff in their store as well. Merch, pops, you know, like the big-headed dolls, pops, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. We have Extra Life coming up. More on that in a minute. But first, Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
So I played this game a while back. And I like those games that utilize kind of a forced perspective puzzle mechanic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the things that made Portal so much fun was that you had all these kind of weird, you know, puzzle mechanics in terms of your speed and your bouncing, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
So this one's called Viewfinder. And
I had one of those.
This is an interesting and mind-bending kind of game. Right? So the demo opens. We start in this kind of ruined hacienda. It's like classic and futuristic, and it's kind of weird. You walk around for a bit, you break a bridge on accident and realize that you can rewind time for a little bit.
Helpful.
You know, helpful, so you don't have to, you know, die when the bridge falls. And that's pretty cool. And eventually you're going to find a picture, and just like a Polaroid, you know, and you'll carry that around, and you're going to discover that you can kind of paste that Polaroid into reality and then walk through it.
Oh, nice.
So, like, you don't have to find where the picture was taken and line it up and then, like, oh, there we go, to get to the next thing. You could just put it anywhere you damn well please and then walk into the picture because you're holding it out in front of you. And so the size that it is based on the background is the size of the picture. So as you get closer to it, the thing just gets bigger and bigger.
All right.
And you use that to solve puzzles, basically to get to different places that you need or be able to find batteries to power things. So you can go on and on. It is a really cool and it's hard to explain how well it works because it does work really, really well. It's a little frustrating to control because you have a tendency, well, I have a tendency to kind of look down a little bit because I want the floor to be the floor.
Yeah.
Thing is that if you look kind of down, because of the way perspective works, now the floor is going to angle down.
Oh, okay.
And so you setting all those, you collect, you know, like I said, you collect your puzzle pieces, you reach places you can't reach. You can even in some way, sometimes you can duplicate your picture by grabbing on, walking into the picture, grabbing the picture that you just took, and doing this over and over again. So then you can layer them on top of one another in order to climb higher by setting the floor higher and higher and higher as you go. The opening is done really well, and it's really fun to kind of explore and to puzzle these things out. And then the demo skips the plot forward. And it tells you, it's like, you know, here's some of the things that you're missing in the demo. And it like gives you like a fast forward, you know, clip show of other things. And drops you into this new time where you have a camera and now you can take your own pictures.
Ooh.
And then use those pictures to warp reality and shift reality. You know how Portal 1 is like 75% tutorial?
Yeah.
You know, where it just kind of leads you into understanding every single step. Those missing pieces means that there's no buildup of experience and knowledge on how to use the camera well.
You're just thrown in there.
You're just thrown in. It's like, hey, hope you got an imagination because we ain't going to tell you squat.
Okay.
So
I've played some games like that.
Based on the first half of the demo, it's a get it. You know, just absolutely. Based on the first half, it's like, I want to see more of this. I want to play more of this. There's little things that you can find that kind of fill in a little bit of the gaps of the world and lore and so forth. And at least one of those levels has a guy's artwork. And so, like, you'll step through into what looks like a child's, you know, crayon drawing of a house. You know, in one of them. And eventually get into, like, a 1980s, you know, Wolfenstein 3D castle, you know, nice. As part of this. All pictures and artwork that are sitting around that you can shift reality with. With the second half, demo only or purchase with care, because it is a steep learning curve in the demo.
Okay.
Good game, controls really, really well, mind-bending ideas and puzzles. That skip makes me worry.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, thank you. Justin.
Yo.
You know, I've been doing a lot of threading lately. I've been checking out the Threads app. What have you been doing on your phone and or computer?
Well, I'm still kind of looking through Reddit.
Okay.
As many of you know, I have a wide plethora of knowledge that I think is useful to the video game community, but I don't get to play that often. So I've taken my expansive knowledge and gone to Reddit's Ask Games and found some questions that I think would be deserve a definitive answer. And I do this in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, what are some unwritten rules in video games?
Uh-oh.
Well,
Oh, God.
Well, I'd like to tell you, but since I couldn't write them down, I forgot.
You know, it's the simplicity of it.
Yeah, it really is.
That sells me on that joke. That was masterfully done.
It was well done. It was good. It was good. And by the way, if you want to submit your own question, our Discord is there. You can find the link at geekcavepodcast.com. But also know the bit.
Well, it's not.
We'll take your serious questions too, but know the bit.
Is it funnier to take a serious question and treat it like this?
I mean, maybe.
Serious answers on the Discord.
If you want serious, go to Darren. If you want other, hi.
That sounds right. Have you been doing anything else gaming related?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
I've also been getting games through Gamefly that I have been choosing based entirely on the box art. It's very
sounds
shallow
safe.
Of me, I know. So yeah. I think I like the name Shallow Save File.
Shallow Save File.
F- for this little bit.
Okay.
So this month's selection was Destroy All Humans for the PS4.
Oh, I love that one.
That game.
It's really good, yeah. Don't you dare.
I want it to be a movie.
Okay.
The control.
It was called Mars Attacks.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I was so hyped because, okay, nice opening cinematic. The character you play does a very bad Jack Nicholson impersonation.
Yeah.
The lead alien is voiced by Zim.
Yeah, this game came out on like the PS2 and the original Xbox, so I think your control problems might be there.
Yeah. So for the PS4 version, the controls are quite a bit wonkier. But I really enjoyed the first level because I got to kill cows, I got to blow up buildings, I got to get into a spaceship. It was great. Second level of a game called Destroy All Humans. I'm not supposed to kill anybody.
Yeah, that was a bit frustrating. I'll give you that.
And I didn't know what button I was supposed to push because the controls were wonky.
Yeah.
And I ended up killing the guy I wasn't supposed to kill because I had access to death machinery, not interrogation machinery. And so I failed twice in not killing a human in a game called Destroy All Humans.
That's where they get you.
So, I mean, I love the premise. The art, you know, the graphics are fine for what it is, you know. I don't know if it got an upscale because
it did.
Okay. Like I said, it looks great. The premise is lovely. I'd rather just watch Mars Attacks.
That's fair. I don't know if it's available on modern consoles or not, but Stubbs the Zombie sounds like it'd be something up your alley.
Stubbs the Zombie.
Yeah, it's kind of Mars Attacks-y, except 50s aesthetic, and you play a zombie.
No, I don't want to know anything about it.
Okay.
I'm just, if I like the box art, that's
what I get. I don't know if it's available on modern consoles or not, so your mileage may vary on that one. So while Justin looks up Stubbs the Zombie...
Mm-hmm.
And I do recommend you play it.
Well, I definitely do like the box art, so I will check Gamefly.
I do recommend you play it if you have it available to you. I got a couple of games to get through. Also, a little bit of housekeeping. I promised a while back, Tears of the Kingdom update. Yeah, I finished it. It's pretty good. It's in my top five Zeldas. Is it the best one? No. Is it the worst one? Nah, there's a lot of creativity there. So I definitely enjoyed it. I thought that the ending was the appropriate amount of heartfelt. And yeah, it's in my top five.
Okay.
Pretty sure number one is right now Linked to the Past. So it tells you where I am.
Was that the Super Nintendo one?
That was the Super Nintendo one, yeah. Let's see. AEW Fight Forever, an update on that because they've released some patches. It's still a very, very, very teetering between a C+ and a B-. It plays a lot like the old Nintendo 64 wrestling game, so if you played any of those, you'll love it. But there's a lot of stuff there that needs some tweaking, especially the career mode. And the lack of a create a wrestler mode, which in today's day and age, for any kind of sports or wrestling game, if you're going to have a creation suite, you need to have more than 8 heads that I can choose from.
Hmm.
So that's kind of holding it back. But if you like old school wrestling, especially if you're a fan of guys like Sting or Kenny Omega or CM Punk, check that one out.
Ric Flair. Hmm? Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, you can create Ric Flair, or you can do like a friend of mine did and create Rock Fleur.
Rock Fleur?
You know, legally distinct Ric Flair.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
I really like Sting, especially his solo stuff. He was good with the Police, but his solo stuff is really good.
There's a fun photo from the 90s of wrestler Sting playing guitar standing next to Sting, the musician. And I don't know, it's just one of my favorite 90s photos. So a couple of reviews, but first I want to tell you about a great thing that we do every year, and we've got coming up again late October 27th and 28th. Those are the days for our 24-hour marathon for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. It is once again Extra Lifetime, and we are once again asking you to help us out. We know that, you know, everything costs more. There's inflation. There's this, there's that. But, you know, one thing that never takes a vacation, one thing that never takes a break is the need at your local children's hospitals. And so money raised through this 100% goes to our local hospitals, and we don't keep a penny. None of the money stays for processing or anything like that. It all goes for stuff like charitable care. That's people who can't afford their bills. It goes for research. It goes for equipment. And it even goes for sometimes they got these little carts that have old gaming consoles on them, because sometimes a kid just needs a few minutes to forget they're in a hospital and remember that they're a kid. So feel free to go to extra-life.org. We've had so many people over the years tell us that they created their own team for Extra Life because of what we were doing. And so that is just, that warms my heart. But also while you're there, look for the DK podcast or go to dkpodcast.com. Click on the Extra Life link. It'll take you right to our fundraising page, and a donation of any amount will win you a prize, will get you into a drawing for a prize. I don't have that many prizes. Calm down. But it'll get you into a drawing for prizes that include a physical copy of Metroid Prime Remastered, your choice of a digital download of The Batman, the Super Mario Brothers movie, or Superman and Lois Season 2, a 3-month Gamefly gift certificate, t-shirt of your choice from Shirtosaurus, and who knows, maybe some more stuff will get added between now and the time you hear us in September. And if you donate ahead of time, you're still eligible for all those drawings. So go ahead and make your donation as little as a dollar. You have no idea how much it means to us. DeepTapePodcast.com. Just click on the Extra Life button. All right. So you guys have any more games stuff?
Wish I did.
Nope.
Didn't have the time.
Yeah. I mean, the summertime's weird. One good thing that happened in the summer is the release of Final Fantasy 16. I've got a full... I shouldn't say full. I've played 20 hours. I am 60% through the campaign.
60%?
60% through the campaign.
That surprises me a little bit that it's so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 40 hours is what they estimated.
Okay.
So I'm plugging along. I've done a lot of the side quest stuff too, you know.
Well, you got to grind.
And the last time we spoke, I was talking about the demo, and I mentioned that the combat was kind of like Devil May Cry, Bayonetta-ish. I'm still confident with that assessment, but I don't know. Devil May Cry, Bayonetta never really grabbed me as far as the combat. This combat is fun. If you like turn-based combat, you're not finding it here, my friend. Final Fantasy is fully into the real-time, you know, action RPG now. And I'll put it like this as far as the gameplay goes. This is the best chance I think that I've ever had of getting Chad to play a Final Fantasy game. So
okay,
yeah. If you like dark fantasy, think Game of Thrones or stuff of that ilk, then you'll find a lot to like here. The game is the story is very mature, especially for a Final Fantasy game, where there's always been, you know, death and kingdoms at war and stuff like this. But they crank it up to 11. There's a scene early on where there's a male antagonist and a female antagonist, and something that you guys might know of as motorboating takes place. Yeah. Because this is the first Final Fantasy game rated M, and this is the first Final Fantasy game not shying away from sex or graphic when it comes to violence, stuff like that. I don't want to spoil a whole lot of the story, but I will say that there have been multiple times in the game where I have made an audible gasp on the direction that the story has gone, something that I did not anticipate, something I haven't done in a long time for a Final Fantasy game.
Not just because off-screen wife showed up in the room right when that happened?
No. No. Lori has been, you know, enjoying watching it as much as I've enjoyed playing it.
Huh.
She's into it. One note about the story, and this is a great idea, because of so many moving parts and you're having to keep track of so many different characters. I know in an RPG, sometimes it can be difficult if you're gone for a while, you come back and you're like, who the hell is that? You know, why is he talking to me? At any point in the game, with the exception of maybe two or three cutscenes so far, you can pause the action and pull up what's called active time lore, which brings on screen, you know, little bubbles of information for each person that is involved in that scene. Huh. So at any point in time, you can get a Cliff Notes version of like, all right, what's going on in Dalmatia right now? Well, here's what's going on. Who's that guy? Here's that guy. You know, it's a really neat idea.
So and it's pop-up video, the video game.
Kinda, as far as like the cutscenes and the story beats go. So I really do think that that's a neat idea. I'm glad they did that. And the music is great. A lot of callbacks to prior Final Fantasy games. I can tell that the guy who directed this this one is a fan of Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy VIII. Kingdom Hearts, because it seems that there's always some dude in a leather cloak with a hood. And Final Fantasy VIII, because it's a little bit more mature and there's not nearly as much teenage angst. Also, big props to finally having a Final Fantasy main character in his 30s instead of like 17 or 18. That's kind of cool. That makes me feel like I can relate to him a little bit. So I'm not 100% done with the game, but I liked it enough where I bought it from Gamefly. And this is a game that, like, until I played the demo, wasn't even on my radar.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Final Fantasy 16 is a be like me.
Nice.
Unless something goes horribly wrong at, like, the last...
In hour 38 and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
No, red, green, or blue.
All right. If there's nothing further, Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to... Darren's Pile of Shame.
M-I-C.
K-E-Y?
K-E-Y.
M-O-U-S-E?
M-O-U motherfucking S-E. These are the letters of the name of an icon. Someone known the world over. Someone who brought a man out of obscurity into untold riches. These are the letters that spell the name of someone who at one point was the most recognizable face on Earth. So why the hell was his NES game trash?
Well, Icky Me never really had.
It's time to talk about Mickey Mousecapade.
Aww.
See, it's the year of the NES, my friends. The year where I picked random games from the Nintendo Entertainment System as we celebrate it turning 40 over in Japan as the Famicom. And see, like, does this little box still have legs when you take away Mario, Zelda, Samus, and Kirby? So far this year, yeah, I've been, eh. Mickey Mousecapade starts off, and you can find the Deep Cave Plays video on our YouTube channel by the time that you're hearing this episode. Mickey Mousecapade starts off promising, kind of, because it's produced by Capcom, the same people who made Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, Tailspin, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. You know, the good ones. But the box and the cartridge say Mickey Mousecapade. The title screen just says Mickey Mouse. They couldn't even give a shit enough to give you the proper title on the title screen. And that's how you know. Now, see, here's the thing. I have a lot of warm memories of this game as a child. And they started to come back while I was playing. First level, you're in a place, it's a level called the Fun House. It's a side-scrolling game where you have to, like, climb ladders, find a key so you can open a door, and find another key so you can get out of the Fun House, right? You and Minnie, you play as Mickey. Oh, by the way, Mickey and Minnie on the screen at the same time at all times, there's no two-player. It's just you and Minnie. And also, you can't leave the screen if Minnie is stuck, like, on a different level of the screen. Like, if I'm on, like, if I'm trying to go through a door at the top of the screen and Minnie can't figure out how to climb the Goram ladder, then I can't leave until I go back down, get her to follow me, climb up the ladder, and then go. You encounter such iconic enemies as Bird That Poops On You, Jumping Broom, Small Yellow Bulldog, Cat Throwing Hairballs, and my personal favorite, Random Pink Owl That Kidnaps Minnie and Takes Her to Another Undetermined Part of the Level. Did I mention you can't leave the level until you find Minnie? Your attack is you throw a star. It's like ninja stars, but not as good. You're throwing stars.
Wish on this!
Yeah. But still, overall, the combat is whatever. It's an NES game, so it's twitchy. You know, you basically have to cheese it a little bit by, you know, climbing a ladder, but stopping just before you get to the top so you can shoot enemies' feet, that kind of thing. Whatever. Minnie gets kidnapped. I have to do a guessing game to find her, because when Minnie is kidnapped, you have to, A, find a secret door. B, when you get in that secret door, there are four dummies. Well, dummy's not the right word. You remember Br'er Rabbit's tar baby thing?
Yeah.
That. Four of those. And you got to find which one is the real Minnie, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to grab one. And if it's the wrong one, you got to go find another hidden door, buddy. Go find another hidden door and try again. You got a 1 in 4 chance every time. And she moves. But fine, whatever. I get through the first level and it's fine. Second level, I'm at the beach. And by the beach, I mean, no, it's a series of platforms with some bullshit thrown in, because, you know, it's an NES game. So I'm jumping over chasms at the same time tidal waves are approaching me, and now there's a bat that's pooping on me, and you know, it's a mess, but you get through the level, it's fine. There's no boss at the end of the second level, so you're like, all right, cool.
I have such fond memories of watching cartoons with Bat That Poops On You. It's just one of my favorites.
So the third level's called The Woods. Anyone who watched the Deep Cave Plays knows what happens when you get to the woods. Nothing good happens when you get to the woods.
I was on vacation. Talk to me about it.
Okay, so check this out, Chad.
I'm listening.
You remember?
Paint me a picture.
Have you beaten the original Mario game on the NES? Okay, so you know, like Bowser's Last Castle, there's like different paths that you have to basically take based on memory in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Picture that, except in the woods. And some of the doors will take you right back to the beginning of the level.
Okay.
Some of the doors will take you further into the woods. And some of the doors are hidden. And some of the hidden doors will take you further into the level. And some of the hidden doors will take you back to the beginning of the level. Right. Okay. So, first pass. We got green trees. Take the second door. Now you got pink trees. Right? Take the second door, you're back to the green trees. Right. So, second door, pink. Third door, yellow trees. Making progress, right? If you go past the third door, you're back to the beginning of the level. Well, the beginning of the yellow trees. So that's not it. So, first door, green trees. Second door, back to the pink. Mystery door that you can't find until you've gone past the start at least once, which means you have to do a lap. Then you can find the mystery door. That gets you to the white trees, the snowy trees. Chad, do you want to know how long it took me to find the way out of the snowy trees part?
I shudder to ask, because you look like you're getting a little bit worked up.
The average level length for Mickey Mouse to pay is like 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
17 minutes later.
To get through the white
After I have been warped back to the beginning with the green trees at least thrice. Oh, and once you get to the yellow trees, they start throwing a different enemy at you. It's the country bears. It's the country bears throwing boulders. They throw 5 boulders at once, and frame rate drops to 5.
Oh, no.
And did I mention that if Minnie gets hit by a boulder, you still take damage? So you try to, like, turn around and get away from the... But Minnie is always 2 steps behind whatever you just did. So if you're trying to dodge a boulder, Minnie's getting hit by that boulder. So I lost a few lives there. But after you... let's see, what was it? It was... No to the first door, no to the second, no to the hidden door, no to the third door. Come back around. Hidden door there? Nope, not that one either. No, the first legitimate door will get you into a garden where you fight a snake thing. And then we're off to the pirate ship. This is it. Final level. Pirate ship, right? I have 1 life.
Pirate Pete?
Pirate Pete. I have 1 life. I make it to Pirate Pete. I've got maybe 2 hits left. Pirate Pete throws knives, right? And so he's on this, you know, plank above you. So you can climb up the ladder, do a couple cheap shots, drop back down. Did you know that Pirate Pete throws knives that can change direction in midair?
I do now.
Wow. I didn't know that. So I had a game over, and that was where I stopped. Mickey Mouse Capade, clearly made at a time where Nintendo was like, make it harder so they can't beat it during the rental period, because start to finish, this game is probably 30 minutes long. Please don't be like me. MICKEY, please go fuck yourself. For Chad, for Justin, for Kent, be sure to check out all of our other stuff, too. We have, we're on all your favorite podcast services. We got a bunch of stuff on YouTube. You can find the link to the YouTube channel at geektapepodcast.com. And please, you know, follow it and hit the bell and all that stuff. I think it helps. I don't know. But that includes Retromantics. That includes Geek Cave Plays. And, of course, all of our other shows include You Want Me to Watch What?, which is Chad and Justin's movie review podcast, which is a lot of fun. And also the occasional TLDR and the Week 3 podcast. Lots of great stuff. And, of course, while you're at the geekcavepodcast.com website, you can also feel free to follow our Discord, join our Discord. It's a lot of fun. You can interact with us. And, of course, check out our Extra Life effort. So, again, for Chad... For Justin, for Kent, I'm Darren, and dear God, let me have a good game next month. Thanks for listening to Geek Cave Podcast Gaming, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.